Welcome to KUOW Speakers Forum. We're a venue for spoken word presentations in many forms. We feature writers, artists, storytellers, and thinkers recorded at events around Seattle. I'm your host, John O'Brien. This week, we're presenting a chill-worthy and very funny episode from Seattle's Sandbox Radio. It's a first for us, and just in time for Halloween. The Stranger calls their work fresh, joyful, and awesome, but given the season, they've added a touch of creepy to the mix. Look forward to radio theater at its best, with original plays, music, sound effects, and guest appearances by writer and bicycle adventurer Willie Weir, and the Seattle women's chorus group Sensible Shoes, doing tunes by Tom Lehrer and Ben Gibbard. This episode of Sandbox Radio is called In Night Town. It was recorded in a one-night-only event on October 5th, 2015, at Town Hall Seattle. The Sandbox Radio players include Eric Ray Anderson, Nick Donner, Jin Hammond, Heather Hawkins, Laura Kenny, Amy Love, Jason Marr, Dawson Nichols, Peter Dylan O'Connor, Peggy Platt, Daniel Tierney, Annette Tutangi, Sean John Walsh, and Richard Zyman. Sandbox Radio is locally grown and produced by Leslie Law and Richard Zyman. The Sandbox Radio Orchestra features composer/music director Jose Gonzalez on piano, Dave Pascal on bass, Daniel Tierney on drums, and Rob Whitmer on accordion and clarinet. And off we go.
Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Law, the host of Sandbox Radio. Thanks for downloading the podcast. This episode, Sandbox Radio in Night Town, was recorded in front of a fabulous live audience in our first ever show at Town Hall Seattle on October 5th, 2015. It features a new story from guest Willie Weir and musical guests from Seattle Women's Chorus Sensible Shoes. Sandbox Radio is made possible by the generous financial support of listeners like you. Visit sandboxradio.org to find out how to help us keep making the show. Here we go with Sandbox Radio in Night Town.
Sandbox Radio will stay.
Special musical guests from the Seattle Women's Chorus, Sensible Shoes! A brand new story from writer and NPR contributor, Willie Weir! And so much more. Plus, all your favorite Sandbox Radio players and music from the Sandbox Radio Orchestra, led by Jose Juicy Gonzalez. So, sit back and relax as we take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
It's October, and time to think about Frost and the Pumpkins, hot apple cider, children dressed as hobos or a princess, and, of course, the zombie apocalypse. Much of the time, we leave ourselves unprepared. Too much candy corn, not enough Snickers. Forgetting to add antifreeze to the family car, or the simple precaution of keeping a baseball bat or tire iron by the front door for brain whacking. We only need to look to films and TV to see the zombie population is on the rise. You see? We know now, despite the massive government cover-up, the causes of zombies are a rampant misuse of pesticides, chemical preservatives, overprescribed drugs, and a food source tainted by steroids. Antibiotics. And more pesticides. And don't get me started. Biowarfare. Some may be asking, why the zombies spike in the fall? It's the elections and the politician zombies it brings. Fueled by a need for power, greed, and compulsion to hear oneself talk, every 4 years from June to November, the U.S. is thick with a political blight on humanity. We must be especially vigilant this year. The 2016 election is already in full swing. When giving candy, be prepared with plenty of the good stuff and a chainsaw at the ready.
Trick or treat!
Oh my, don't you all look scary.
Give money!
Yeah. Oh my, another politician!
Make America great again!
Ooh, that is a scary one. We better head off that zombie horde with plenty of head removal tools at the ready, stashed discreetly, like this prepared mom.
Here you go. Now, where was I? Who needs sugar-free? Oh, and are there any peanut allergies?
I brought my
allergy. All right, here we go.
Halloween doesn't have to be really scary if we remember to keep our heads.
This has not been a public service announcement by ZombieGeekWatch.org and the League of Women's Voters.
Attention, please. Hi. Hello. My name is Greg. I'm Greg. Thanks so much for coming. The temperature's outside and that will kill you within 4 minutes now that our atmosphere is blackened with ash and bone dust. So I know you didn't really have a choice, but I appreciate your attention.
Not the End of the World by Wayne Roth.
First, let's give a big thank you to Carlos, who found the only building within 100 miles, not reduced to a smoldering husk, and powering this microphone with a bicycle run generator. A big hand! Carlos, thanks for peddling. We'll try to get right down to business.
No problem.
Okay. Well, the world as we know it has ended.
That sucked.
Yes. Yes, it did. It totally sucked. But after decades of scorching her atmosphere, poisoning her oceans, and violently wrenching the last remaining resources from above and below her surface, our planet finally stopped providing hospitality to those who would ruin her. The resulting environmental cataclysm tore our fragile hold on civilization completely asunder. Our infrastructures crumbled to powder almost immediately. Our meaningless technology was powerless to save us. 99.999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 And it would appear that we, a relatively minute handful of 137 or so people, are all that are left to shriek and to shiver, clutching desperately to each other against the long, unending horror of the apocalypse.
Excuse me?
Yes, yes, you have a question.
In that 137, are you counting the mutant zombie vampire spider creatures?
No, good question. That does not count the poor souls who were turned into mutant zombie vampire spider creatures by the genetically engineered super virus that ravaged the human race, and who are now roaming the hillsides like packs of shambling wild animals, attacking and devouring any living thing they can find. It didn't seem to make sense to count them. Right? They don't really contribute to society or whatever, so... Hey, can we make sure those back doors are locked?
On it!
Thank you.
Headshot, man!
Okay, right. Danny seems to think that the only way to kill these spider creatures is with a properly placed shot to the head, destroying the brain. But you read that in a comic book, didn't you?
Dinners, use a melee weapon if you can. Don't waste precious ammo on a ranged attack.
Okay, Danny. Well, we don't know what that means. Johnson, is a headshot the only way to kill these creatures?
We don't have any way of knowing that.
Sorry, Danny.
Headshot!
Johnson, have you all met Johnson? He's our scientist.
Oh, Johnson!
Come
Johnson,
on up!
Hola!
We're going to call him by his last name because he's our scientist. Johnson, what did you do before the complete breakdown of civilization?
I ran the Geartopia exhibit at the Fun City Children's Museum.
Great! So we're in good hands with you. Johnson, can we be relatively certain that the world has stopped ending?
Sure.
Right there. Right there is some good news, and I think we should just not waste any more time jibber-jabbering. I see poor Carlos is getting tired. So let's get right down to the business of reestablishing civilization.
Let's do this thing!
That's a spirit!
Andale, andale.
That's what I like to hear. Very good. So, we've made a list of some of the stuff we're going to need to do. We're calling the list the Rebuilding Civilization List. It's a pretty big list, as you can see, but we tried to prioritize it, put some stuff in order. We've got everything from plant corn right here towards the top, and below that we have repopulate. That's going to be an important one. We'll all want to get a little cleaned up for that. Ladies, we definitely need your buy-in on that one, huh? Right, but right here at the top, number one is establish new government. Right. You put some people in charge so we can keep things going, keep it organized, that sort of thing. So let's do that first. Who should be in charge? Okay, so my first idea, just to get it going, is that we put the rich white men back in charge. Seems to work pretty well, at least there for a while. So I say we put white males with lots of money back in charge of things, see how it goes. Play it by ear. Yeah. Johnson, what is it?
The whole notion of private property as accumulated through the exchange of fiat currency is an entirely obsolete construct at this point.
Okay. Well, I think what Johnson is saying, that there is no money. So we'll definitely want to fix that. But for now, we can say that we'll put all the formerly rich white men in charge, and then we can work out the rich part later. Okay? Okay. So, all those in favor of putting the formerly rich white men back in charge of things, say aye. The ayes have it! Moving on to number two. Shelter. Okay. So it looks like we need to make some shelter, keep things dry, keep us warm during the winter, that sort of thing.
Excuse me?
Yes, I see another question in the back. Janet. Sorry, Janice. I'm still trying to remember the remainder of humanity's names. I'll get it. Promise. Janice, you have a question.
Yes, I'm wondering if we can go back to the part about putting rich white men in charge.
Which one? The
first one. The one where you put the rich white men back in charge.
The first one?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're on number two now.
I know, but I think maybe...
All right, Janet.
Janet,
We're trying to move forward here. So, you know, I'm just thinking about poor Carlos here. But if you need to, I hope that winter doesn't come before we get the shelter bit worked out. Okay, let's see. Going back. Rewind. Okay, number one. Put formerly rich white men back in charge. Passed with an aye vote. Okay, what's the problem?
Greg, I'm not sure that's the best idea.
Okay. Well, you might be alone on that one.
Oh, I'm not, actually.
No.
Other people feel this way?
Yeah.
Well, weird. Maybe we should talk about this.
Yes, I think we should. I'm coming up there.
Okay. I'll be honest. I'm feeling attacked right now.
We know. We're sorry. We're really not trying to...
It seems like you are, Janice. It seems like you are trying to.
We're not. We just think we want to go in another direction.
Okay, look, you know what? Let's not. We're grown-ups here. We just survived the apocalypse. Everything we've ever known has been torn from under our bleeding grasp. So let's just say it. Who do you think would do a better job?
Cats.
David. David.
What? He asked.
We said we weren't going to be intentionally cruel, okay?
He asked.
He said cats?
What David means
He said cats would do a better job?
Melissa, would you like to take this?
Yeah. What we mean, Greg, is that basically we think that anyone or anything would do a better job. To be more solution-oriented than that, so we were thinking that we would put women and unwhite, non-white people and poor people in charge.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, I don't know if you've heard, but money is just a construct. Apparently, so we're all poor anyway, so whatever.
You know what we mean, Greg.
Okay, so what are all the white rich men supposed to do if we're not in charge?
Melissa?
Well, we thought that maybe you could do something helpful and important, but soft. Like weaving. Knitting.
Knitting?
Or weaving.
What, like mats or
exactly.
something?
Exactly. Mats, blankets, all sorts of important things. Weaving.
I don't know how to weave.
Well, we could teach you. It'll take some practice, but I'm sure that you can do it.
I'll bet I'd be really good at weaving.
I know you would.
I could probably weave more mats than anyone else.
You know what? I bet you're right.
I wonder how I could get somebody else to weave my mats.
No. See, it's okay. It's okay. I got it. See, you went too far there. Just one step too far. You have to weave the mats. You can't... Just you. You have to weave them.
Can I head up the weaving?
Nope. No heading up anything. We're just...
But it's no one's fault, you know, the apocalypse. It's not like we said, let's destroy the world as we know it.
Yeah, well,
it's just that there was some stuff we wanted to buy.
We know.
You have to admit, we were very good at coming up with ideas on how to buy stuff.
We know.
And you sure seemed to like all that plastic when it was in your refrigerator, keeping the liquids from going all over the place. Just saying.
Well, Greg, we didn't have much of a choice most of the time, and, well, we're just going to go in a different direction, is all. I'm just saying.
Johnson, you want to help me out here? You're a white male.
I'm gay.
Seriously?
Yep.
I have no idea.
Gay.
Okay, fine. Albert?
Huh?
You're not gay.
I'm good.
You want to chime in here?
No, I'm good. You know, Greg, I'm kind of okay to have the whole wildly disproportionate and unfair distribution of wealth and power thing off my shoulders for a little while. I'm good with the weaving. I'll weave. Or dig holes or stuff. Or whatever. I'm good.
You want to head up the weaving?
Nope.
Nope. I don't need to head up anything. I'll just weave.
Well, you certainly got everything all figured out here, don't you?
Not all of it, but this part, yeah. You know, just come off the podium and Carlos, huh? I think you can stop pedaling for Greg now.
Oh, Dios mío. Oh.
Here, Greg.
What are these?
Knitting needles. They are the tools you need to do the knitting.
Wow. These are pointy. You could really do some damage with
okay.
these.
Okay. Let's take those away. We don't need these. We're just gonna focus on the weaving with Greg for now, okay? Okay, Greg?
Okay.
It's okay, Greg. We're just gonna do it this way for a while. Don't worry. It's not the end of the world.
Wayne Raleigh, ladies and gentlemen, in the house. Wayne. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Like a cup of coffee on a drizzly Seattle morning.
Knock, knock.
Marco! Good morning.
Hey there, Tiger. Can I borrow some eggs? I had a hot date last night and I want to impress them with a frittata.
Them?
Hey, I'm just trying to stay on top of the trends. Keeps me young.
Ooh, help yourself to the eggs.
Do you want to come over and meet them? They're Romanian circus folk.
Gotta take a rain check. I have to go pick up my cousin Katie from the bus station. She's moving here.
Cousin Katie?
Yep, my cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
Yikes, the time, I'm running late.
Ciao.
What? Where is everybody? Excuse me, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
The bus 64.
The Midnight Sun Express from Alaska?
Yeah, is it late?
On the contrary, early. A lady went into labor around Bellingham. The driver did 90 to get her here. That bus came half an hour ago.
Oh, no! How am I going to find my cousin Katie?
Katie from Ketchikan?
What? Yes! You know her?
Why, she saved the day! She delivered the baby! There she is!
Cousin Katie!
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan!
Oh, Lena, look at me! Small town girl taking a big city by a storm!
Heard you had an eventful trip. You saved the day!
Oh, pshaw! Once you've delivered a caribou calf, a human baby is a piece of cake. Just reach in, grab on, and twist it out.
I'm sorry I wasn't here to meet you.
Oh, don't worry, I was fine. I'll admit I was a little apprehensive at first. My grandma Shirley took a greyhound to Kansas City in 1945, and she said the bus station was crawling with whoremongers.
What?
Those that monger the whores? They wait for innocent girls like me, and then with flirtation and sweet alcoholic beverages, they lure them into white slavery. Unless the girl is black, then it's black slavery. But this place is pimp-free as far as the eye can see.
Glad to hear it.
Except maybe for that guy over there by the vending machines. He looks a little dicey.
Katie, I was going to take you over to the Chihuly.
Great! I love Mexican food! Monroe was like a trip to the future. You look a little pale.
Sorry. Ticket price for the Garden of Glass was a bit of a shocker.
Oh, look at all those glass things.
Yeah, a lot of glass, all right.
Wow.
Wonder how they made it.
Oh, it's just melted some of the crayon thrown in for color.
Bet you don't have anything like this up in Alaska.
Actually, there's an Inuit word that I can't remember, but it means when a bear pees on a bush in the winter and it freezes before it all drips to the ground.
Oh, that sounds,
Yeah, it's pretty all right. But, word to the wise, keep it outside.
I consider myself warned.
That reminds me of my Grandma Shirley.
Was she an artist?
No, but she's always ordering things from the back of the TV guide. She has a whole shelf of what she calls her knickety-knacks. This is like that, but bigger. She also has a Thomas Kincaid.
My girl! My little girl!
Ma'am, what's wrong?
It's my daughter. She climbed up there.
Into the Chihuly?
Into that,
ring?
Yes, she's in the clutches of that, that artwork. Won't somebody do something?
Stand back! We're the 911 guys! We have it under control, everybody! Just calm the freak down!
That was quick! Back in Ketchikan, it's all volunteer. Sometimes the fellas show up snockered.
Can you get my daughter?
We're not sure, ma'am. All of us may be just too heavy. We don't know if that marble of color and light will hold our weight.
Are you just going to leave her up there?
We're trying to get a hold of one of Dale Chihuly's assistants.
How hard can that be? There's like 100 of them.
Huh. Hey, why don't I just shimmy on up?
Katie, no.
Oh, it's okay. I'm fine. I climb glaciers back home, and I'm just a wee slip of a thing.
That brave young woman is climbing that glob of glass!
Yay!
Oh! Whoa! Whoa! From Ketchikan.
My cousin Katie from Ketchikan.
I'm Alice.
Whoa. We're all right. Well, you young lady have given your mother quite a scare.
I didn't mean to. I was just trying to figure out what this thing was. The little sign says, frightened sea cucumber embracing a wilted sunflower in a July snowstorm. But that's just dumb.
It is a little confusing, isn't it? Okay, hop on my back.
She's saving the little girl! They're climbing down!
Oh, yeah! Yeah.
Maybe we should get out of here. I don't know how these people are gonna feel about my busting up this chipotle.
Katie, Katie, Katie.
Listen, they're cheering you. You're a hero.
Listen closer.
Break for glass. Break for glass. Break for glass. Break for glass.
Well, that's kind of a complicated relationship with the master of glass. What do you say we head back to my place for some cocoa?
It's a plan.
Quite a day you've had.
Bingo.
Do you like Seattle, Katie?
Nope.
No.
Nope. like Seattle. I love it! You know what one of my favorite things is?
What?
Lake Union.
Yeah, there's some beautiful views of it from Queen Anne and Capitol Hill.
I love that Lake Union looks like a uterus.
What?
Well, it's U-shaped with those two canals where the fallopian tubes would be.
Oh, Katie.
Well, I gotta get me some shut-eye. Tomorrow, I gotta find a job. Good night, Lena.
Good night, Cousin Katie.
My Cousin Katie will catch a can.
Next time on Cousin Katie.
Lena, I got me a new job.
Katie, that's fantastic. Where?
I'm at the Bone and Basket Natural History Museum.
How was your first day?
I think I'd have to call it interesting.
Young woman, you're new here.
Yeah, I'm Katie. I just started.
I'm Dr. Lubenstein, geophysicist. Can I show you something?
That's a question I'm always gonna say yes to.
It's in here. I've invented a way to predict large earthquakes.
But that's impossible. Even if you had the best spirograph in the world, you'd have to be Nosferatu.
Oh, I'm not using conventional geological methods. Take a look.
Oh my God! Are those puppies?
Yes, they are.
But they've shown that animals acting funny before earthquakes isn't real. It's an old wives' tale.
Those aren't ordinary puppies. Look closer.
Huh. Oh, there. Dr. Lulu Vision, you are either a madman or a genius.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Sensible Shoes. Thank you, ladies.
is for Amy, who fell down the stairs.
La 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 la. Whoops! Oh! 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 Oh!
B is for Basil, assaulted by bears.
Hello in there. Teddy?
C is for Clara, who wasted away. D is for Desmond, thrown out of a sleigh.
Whee!
E is for Ernest, who choked on a peach. F is for Fanny, sucked dry by a leech. G is for George, smothered under a rug. H is for Hector, done in by a thug.
Hey, kid.
I is for Ida, who drowned in a lake. J is for James, who took lie by mistake.
Uh-oh.
K is for Kate, who was struck with an axe. L is for Leo, who swallowed some tacks. M is for Maud, who was swept out to sea. N is for Neville, who died of ennui.
Meh.
Through with an awl. P is for Prue, trampled flat in a brawl. Q is for Quentin, who sank in a mire. R is for Rhoda, consumed by a fire.
Oh, matches. Oh.
Is for Susan, who perished of fits. T is for Titus, who flew into bits. U is for Una, who slipped down a drain.
Oh.
V is for Victor, squashed under a train.
Will somebody untie me? Somebody untie me, please. What do you want?
W is for Winnie, embedded in ice. X is for Xerxes, devoured by mice. Y is for Yorick, whose head was knocked in. Finally, Z is for Zilla, who drank too much gin. This alphabetical allegory was brought to you by Edward Gorey and...
The Dashley Crown!
You're listening to Sandbox Radio in Nighttown, our Halloween episode. Tickets are on sale now for our final live show of the season, The Big One. We'll be recording live at ACT Theater in downtown Seattle on December 28th. You can get tickets at acttheater.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to find out who our special guests will be. Now let's get back to Nighttown.
Unscheduled Landing by Scott Augustson.
Is Amelia Rose. I want to tell you a little story about the first time I flew on an aeroplane by myself.
Oh, Amelia Rose, don't be scared. It's an adventure,
my mother said. But I wasn't frightened at all.
The TWA stewardess is going to take good care of you.
TWA? Oh, I get to fly TWA!
Oh, for Pete's sake. I have to watch a kid, too? A kid and a geezer? Oh, on the same flight? A juvenile and a senile? Oh, that's my luck. Look, Emmy.
Amelia Rose.
Look, kid. You just sit next to Mr. Whatever the heck his name is. If the oxygen masks drop and you can't reach one, oh, just breathe a little deeper than normal. A senile.
Okay.
Juvenile. Have you ever flown before?
No, sir.
I used to fly to the moon all the time.
Really?
Yes, out in the gazebo on rainy nights, your mother and I would go out there. In the gazebo, we played the Kaiser and the Dachshund.
Gazebo is.
It's like a little, well, no, it's more like a nautilus shell made of jam. Oh, no, I'm thinking of a gazebo. Oh, I think we're landing.
So soon?
I made absolutely sure it's a nonstop flight so you won't get lost. When the plane lands, get off and look for Grandma.
The plane's landed. It was nice to sit next to you.
You take good care, Princess. The devil hates an honest man.
What I didn't know was what had just happened a few minutes earlier in the cockpit.
Okay, we gotta land this bird.
But we aren't going anywhere near Little Rock. This is a non-stop. Non-stop. We shouldn't be stopping.
This is an unscheduled stop. We got an order.
An order?
Yeah, an order from below.
How far down?
The very bottom.
Landing gear engaged, sir.
My mom said get off the plane when it landed, so I did. Oh, it's dark. Nighttime. Oh, but it was morning just a little while ago. And two moons. Had there always been two moons? Had I just never stayed up late enough to see the second moon rise? Oh, and there are trees. All kinds of trees. And they all had pencils and notebooks in their branches. And they were writing down what they saw. And birds in business suits rushing by.
Bye, bye, bye.
Sail, 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 sail.
Excuse me, little girl.
Me?
You are a human, a little human girl person, yes.
Yes? And you're a snake.
You don't seem in the right place.
No, I don't think so. Where are we?
Night Town.
Oh, no! My grandmother is in Little Rock!
You look like you could use a friend, even if that friend is a snake.
I'm not afraid of snakes.
Oh, I'm glad we are friends. Come closer.
Hey, you! Serpent! Reptile, step away from the child.
Yes! Hat!
Hey! You're a talking screwdriver!
Call me Philip. Philip said. All right, you can call me Phil. That snake's not your friend. He just wants your hands.
It's true. I was to be a secretary and take dictation. But I need fingers to type.
Hey! Leave my fingers alone.
All right, you scram. Beat it. Beat it. Blow.
Thank you. My name is Amelia Rose.
Look, kid, a human ain't safe here on these dark streets. Everyone wants a piece of you. I'll be honest, I covet your skin.
What would a screwdriver do with skin?
I would invite folks to caress me. I would put on lotions and ointments. I'd blush, I'd tan, maybe a tattoo. If you make it through till morning, you'll be all right.
How long until morning?
Forever. It's always night here in Nighttown. Hey, see what I mean?
Oh!
Well, look, rumor has it that there is sunlight stash somewhere here in Night City. You find that, it's your ticket home. Goodbye, darkness. Hello, Grandma.
I gotta find that sunlight. But how?
Hey, I got an idea.
Hey, Sammy. Amelia Rose, this here is Sammy the Swan.
She could get a job working for Lottie.
Who's Lottie?
Lottie is a manatee and was one swell singer. She works over at the Tin Marimba nightclub. But listen close, she's real self-conscious about her weight.
Oh, is she a big girl?
No, just the opposite. She's thin.
Yeah, she's a skinny manatee.
A slender sea cow.
Still, she's quite the chanteuse.
What would my job be?
Well, every night she finishes her act and goes to her dressing room and...
Oh, this is it. I can't take it anymore. Tonight is the night I end this life, this beautiful life.
Your job is to talk her out of suicide. Give her a little hope.
Don't worry, you'll be great.
Okay. Now, how do I find the Tin Marimba?
There's a saying around here. You don't find the Tin Marimba.
The Tin Marimba finds you.
That's right, Sammy. Good luck, kid.
And so I got a job working for Lottie, the sad, svelte manatee.
Falling in love again, never wanted to, what am I to do? I can't help it.
Damn, she had a great voice.
Amelia, wo bist du?
Right here, Lottie. Oh. Should I draw you a bath?
Yeah, tonight on that dingy little stage, it struck me to my very soul how shabby my life is, how hollow all of life is. Fill the bathtub of me so that I might slit my wrists.
Miss Lottie, you are a manatee and don't really have wrists.
You are clever.
And you look too tired.
I am weary. Tomorrow. Tomorrow for sure.
Every night after every show.
That was beyond horrible. I cannot sing. What came out of my throat was the noise of a junkyard dog and an alley cat making the desperate sex in the hospital for the deranged. I must not be allowed on stage ever again. I will throw myself from this window.
You had a little cold tonight. That's all. Have some tea. If the show goes poorly tomorrow, then you can leap from the ledge.
You're right, Liebchen. Not tonight.
But soon. Soon.
Night after night, I tried to convince her that the world still needed her. But then... Oh, yeah.
Jackals. Hyenas. I will show them. I have a little bottle of French poison in my nightstand. It was made in a little apothecary in the 9th arrondissement.
It is a blend of fragrant botanical toxins. It is lovingly crafted to cause the sweetest of dreams as you join the angels.
Oh, Lottie!
Oh, Amelia Rose, meine Liebchen. Be a dear and iron my gown.
As I lay out the dress on the ironing board, something caught my eye. I wasn't used to seeing something so bright here in Nighttown. Lottie, what is this?
Oh, a gift from a long-ago lover.
Go on, tell me.
I had fallen in a casual sort of love with Joe, a rough and handsome American sailor.
Lottie, come here and kiss me. I want your lips on mine.
I don't really have lips. I'm a manatee.
Oh, shut up and kiss me with your cheek flaps.
But he lived in the daylight, a different world. We could meet only at dawn or dusk. Ours was a crepuscular love.
I only get you for about 9 minutes a day. But it's 9 minutes of bliss, baby.
And then, after a mere 30 years of this twilight romance, he said...
Lottie, I gotta say goodbye.
You have met someone? A daytime girl?
No, I have the cancer. I'm going away.
You sailors and your mysterious voyages.
I want to give you something to remember me by.
Oh, Joe, what is it?
It's a little ray of sunlight. I've tied it up in a little knot. We sailors know our knots.
Yes, Joe, you do. And he was gone. I keep it close to my heart, although it hurts my eyes to look at it.
What a sad, beautiful tale. Tell me, would you ever give that sunlight to someone if they really needed it? If it would save them?
Oh, no. As long as I live, I will keep this and cherish it. As long as I live. Live.
Oh, and what I did next, I knew was wrong. I could hear the old man from the plane say...
The devil hates an honest man.
Lottie, I've been thinking. You go on night after night for our sake. You shouldn't have been shouldering that burden for so long.
I have. Although technically as a manatee, I don't have shoulders.
Maybe tonight is the night to finally taste the bottle of poison.
You think?
You would... Reunite with Joe in a world that is neither night nor day.
Will you help me? I want to look my best. I will wear that emerald green robe on the tab of Chanel number 5.
After Lottie drank the poison, I sat by the bed and listened as her breath grew heavy and then stopped. Then I took the little bit of sunshine which she had been clutching in her flipper and...
Oh, no, girl! What have you done?
Phil! Sammy! I got the little bit of sunlight! I can go home!
Don't you get it? The sunlight was a metaphor.
Yes! You caring for Lottie, helping her through her endless night. You were the sunlight!
Just a little bit longer and you would have been able to go home.
Oh, no! What am I going to do now?
Say, Can you sing?
A little.
Well, the tin marimba needs a new chanteuse. And you are looking for a job.
And so, every night I step onto this tiny stage. My eyes search the crowd, hoping to spot my grandmother's face. Hey, you've been a very patient crowd listening to me ramble. Here's a little song I'd like to dedicate to my friend Lottie. Falling in love again, never wanted to. What am I to do? I can't help it.
How many times have you said those words, catch you on the way out, while planning your escape through another door? I've done it. After all, there's unemployment, welfare, and now national health care. Why should the burden of the homeless problem fall on me? Can't they go to a shelter? And if I give them money, won't it go to drugs and alcohol? The simple truth is that most of our government programs have been slowly defunded since 2000. Our shelters in Seattle are overcrowded and leave 78% of the homeless population to fend for themselves. And the vendors of Real Change buy, pick up, and distribute their own stock of papers, sometimes selling all day to fund their food, lodging, clothes, sundries, and a supply of papers for the next day. Probably no party money left over. Let's share a few statistics. Did you know that 46% of our homeless population is over 65 and under 18? There are families, the disabled, and the mentally ill. Make a real change in the life of a person who's homeless or living below the poverty line. If you have a roof over your head and enough food to eat, share a little. Real Change is only $2. That's less than half the price of Us Magazine or The Star, and twice as entertaining. Many of the articles are written by homeless folks, and it even has a puzzle.
Remember when you buy your food to eat, there's a Tommy that's growling out on the street. Give when you can, smile when you're broke. The price is just 2 liters of Coke. It's a great read, the news on the street. Stay informed and the puzzle is neat.
I'd like that paper now, and here's a bottle of water.
Thank you, ma'am. Real change, real change.
So, when you leave the market with a tasty treat, remember the person who can't afford meat. Give when you can, smile when you're broke.
Real change. You're listening to Sandbox Radio. The Field by Willie Weir.
I've always loved a tent. It symbolizes camping and campfires, fishing with my dad, s'mores and wool shirts smelling of wood smoke, a suburban backyard getaway in the summer. I know that it's just synthetic fabric stretched between poles, but I feel strangely secure inside my tent. It's my practical, portable cave. When I became a bike traveler, a tent was the great budget equalizer. Lodging can range from insanely expensive to cheap. Camping can range from really cheap to free. And that is how I managed to travel the world on a poor man's budget. When you travel on a bike with your lodging packed in a bag, $1,000 is a fortune. The first time I crossed America by bike, I was 19 years old. I sold my 64 Pontiac Tempest for $400. It was all the money I needed. You see, I'm not an avid cyclist, as much as I am a traveler who discovered the magic combination of a bike and a tent. I had just pedaled over the border from Guatemala to El Salvador, and I was looking for a place to camp. Wait. Some backstory. The year before, I'd spent 4 months cycling in Mexico. Americans I met traveling in their RVs, which they circled around like wagons at night, carrying enough food and water purchased in the United States to last their entire journey so they didn't have to risk eating or drinking the local fare. They all thought I was crazy. They all thought I was going to die. But I didn't. I returned to Seattle and made enough money to afford another journey. And the following year, I began on the border of Mexico and Belize and pedaled my way through all of the countries of Central America. And that is how I found myself pedaling into El Salvador in 1992, just weeks after the ceasefire agreement between the government and the leftist guerrillas. I'm pretty sure I was the only touring cyclist who crossed the border that day. Or month, based on the looks I got from the border officials. All the backpackers that I'd met and drank with in the bars of Antigua, Guatemala, were passing on El Salvador altogether and heading straight for the islands off the coast of Honduras. It was hot, and I had consumed an entire pannier's worth of oranges I bought from locals near the border. As evening approached, I pedaled into a small town. Considering the circumstances, this was probably a good time to get a hotel. But I didn't. You see, I was on this super tight budget, and I had my tent. I wandered to the edge of town. There was a field. Not a sports field, per se, but a field in which several young kids were playing soccer. My bike, loaded down with gear, immediately drew attention. The kids came running over, and within a couple of minutes, I was juggling. You see, I always carry juggling balls with me, and joking with them in my horrendous traveler's Spanish. I asked some of the older kids if I could camp there. They all thought it was a splendid idea, and they even helped me set up my tent. There was a chance of a storm that night, so we added the rain fly. My lodging secured, I relaxed and watched them play until parents began calling them home. There were just a few of the older kids hanging around as the sun set, and an old man wandered over. He had the weathered face of a field worker and swollen fingers that no longer straightened. He looked at me and said,
"This is not a good place for you."
And then he wandered away. Good place for me. What did he mean? I mean, why did he wait until sunset to mosey over and drop this bit of advice on me? Yeah, whatever. Well, just in case, I brought all my gear inside my tent and then locked my bike to one of the poles. Darkness comes quickly at this latitude. So does sleep. I sat straight up. My chest was pounding. My heart was in my ears. My mouth was open as if to scream. And I had absolutely no idea why. It was the old man.
"This is not a good place for you."
With one sentence, he had messed with my head. He had turned my tent, my traveler's solace, into a bag of fear. And I was marinating in it. It was quiet. No wind, no crickets. Just my heart pounding. Willie, relax. Breathe. That was a footstep. Okay. It could be one of the kids from town. It could be a farmer. It could be... Oh, my God, I screwed up. The old man was right. This is not a good place. It is the place of TV newscasts, of killings and torture, and I am just an idiot who has wandered into it all. There is a man out there, and he has a knife or a machete or a very large rock with which he is going to bash in my skull. The urge to flee was... overwhelming, but I sat there, frozen, the rain fly on my tent obscuring any vision to what was out there. There was only the approaching sound of footsteps that would end in my demise, a foolhardy cyclist who failed to heed an old man's warning. Another footstep, so close for the first time, I heard breathing. In absolute panic, I reached for my wallet, zipped open the tent, and tossed it out of the field. Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. I faced my would-be attacker. The local donkey ignored my wallet. Stared at me for a few seconds. Then munched on a clump of grass next to my tent. I'd like to say those footsteps never haunted me again. That I laughed the whole thing off. But I didn't.
Willie Weir, ladies and gentlemen.
Entropy. Chaos. Oblivion. The forces that shape our destinies. Watch as we blunder about within our self-imposed asylums. They are observing us from that unfathomable region, that place from which no traveler returns unchanged. From beyond the box.
Morning, Adam and Jen. Lights are energizing. Adam, please lock down your auxiliary couplers. We need those secured before you intersect the asteroid belt.
Roger that.
Hey.
So, today's the day.
Yes, it is. The day we've been waiting for.
Imagine a space capsule. Hurtling towards a distant outpost. Inside are two people, a postmodern Adam and Eve, if you will, who carry not only food, oxygen, and supplies, but also their own baggage. Baggage one can rarely shed. The baggage of the heart. Tonight's episode, Midnight Medea, by Elizabeth Heffron.
Minutes to asteroid belt boundary.
Horizon 7, the president just revealed the real purpose of your mission to your families. They await a final chance to speak to you.
You told them the situation?
Not everything, but enough. They're aware the two of you will be supplanting earlier settlers at the Kepler 186 outpost, and that they will never see you again.
How'd they take it?
Your parents had a very hard time.
What about my wife?
Louise? Louise seemed to do fine.
She did?
She's an entomologist, Adam. Not surprising.
Your families have sent you each a gift. They were told it was to celebrate the midpoint of your journey. Now, obviously, it takes on deeper meaning as a final token for your sacrifice. They're being uploaded now.
Wow. They're even wrapped.
Oh.
What is it?
My childhood locket with a picture of my family.
Aww.
So what'd she send you? Wow. Adam's scarves.
And a card for Adam and Jen to keep you comfortable on the long journey home. Hand crocheted with South Indian silk. Love, Louise.
How lovely.
This is weird.
Why?
Louise never crochets.
Jen, your family is ready to say goodbye on the private line in the lab. Adam, I can patch Louise through to you now.
I'll see you in a minute, baby. Do you think she suspects?
I don't think so.
Mwah. Stay strong.
You too. Okay, I'm ready to talk to my wife.
I'm patching her through.
Louise? Honey, are you there?
Yes, I am, Adam.
So, the president informed you about our actual mission?
Yes, she did.
Honey, I'm sorry. I couldn't tell you myself.
She was very kind, actually, the president. She took great pains to say that if there were any way to have informed us earlier, they would have.
What's the matter?
What's the matter, Adam? Take a guess!
Please, can we just be pleasant for our last few moments?
And you, with a son on the way. No, you're right, Adam.
What?
We need to keep our heads for this.
Wait, what did you?
You heard me. I'm carrying your son. I'm carrying your son.
That's a lie. Why didn't you
tell you? It was going to be a surprise, dear.
Real-time communication blackout in 5.
Surprise!
But you can't conceive, Louise.
So we were told, but the doctors were wrong.
3.
Louise, this is crazy.
1.
You had a big secret to carry around. Turns out I had one, too. Enjoy those scarves, darling.
Louise, wait. I need to tell you.
Communication blackout.
Louise! Louise!
So, how'd it go?
She's pregnant.
What? That's not possible.
And there was something in her voice, like she knew about us. Buckle yourself in.
You said you'd stop trying.
I did stop trying, mostly, but...
But what, Adam?
Horizon 7, this is Houston Control. Com bundle communication will commence once you're past the asteroid belt and safely on your way to Kepler 186. Godspeed to you both. Over and out.
Outgoing communication bundle.
Louise. Hey, baby. The last time we spoke in real time, I wanted to confess something. I thought I'd fallen in love with Jen. I know I'm a heel. When I took this mission, well, our marriage seemed hopeless. But now, maybe absence really does make the heart grow fonder. And our son, a miracle. I haven't received any comm bundles from you yet. I know there's a lag time, so maybe you've already written. I love you, Louise. I love all your crazy emotional ups and downs. I miss them. Adam. P.S. Thanks again for the scarves. We wear them every day.
Good morning. Lights are energizing.
No. Oh, I don't want to wake up. Adam? Whoa. What was that?
What?
I think something just crawled out of my suit.
Your suit?
Something... I don't know. I felt...
What?
It just darted behind the navigation console.
I didn't see anything.
It's gone now. It's...
Okay, I'm up. Very funny.
No, really. Something black just scurried behind that console.
Okay, lady.
God, there's another one.
Where?
Over there, behind the trash compactor.
Jen.
Look!
Incoming comm bundle. Adam, there's a comm bundle for you from Louise, sending to your private BioFi.
Why is it going to your BioFi? Why can't I hear it too?
It's from my wife, Jen.
I thought I was your wife now.
You are, but...
No secrets. Remember, Adam? That was our promise.
Okay, I'll put it on speaker.
Dear Adam. Oh, baby. It's been a while since we said that final goodbye. Sorry I was so cranky. I'm back in the lab today, working on more gene mutations for the German cockroach. What a resilient bunch! So adaptable.
What the hell is she talking about?
Shh. You're probably wondering why I mention this and I'm not blubbering about my poor little broken heart, which you and your little astro slut ripped to shreds.
Astro slut?
Did you really think I couldn't piece all the clues together and then hack into world space files and find your mission plans? As soon as it all became clear, I started crocheting.
Oh,
yes. Those are lovely scarves, aren't they? And it's the triangular nature of South Indian silk that makes it the perfect incubator for modified German cockroaches.
Oh, my God. Louise, you didn't...
Adam?
Have you seen any yet? They should be hatching any minute. Once they reach maturity, they will swarm and multiply into the thousands. And you know what they do when they're about to bite? They let out a little hiss, like...
Take your scarf off!
Sleep well, the both of you. Smooches, Louise. P.S. I lied about the pregnancy. No, baby. Sorry, poopsie.
Oh, my God!
Jen, relax.
Relax! I told you I saw something! It crawled out of my suit!
What are you doing? Don't take it off!
They're in my... Oh, my God!
Jen, your suit is your only protection against cosmic radiation!
Leave me alone! Don't touch me!
You can't take it off!
What's that? It's coming out of your...
What the hell?
It's a cockroach, Adam! It just came out of your headset!
Jesus!
We've got to eject!
We can't friggin' eject!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! What do we do?
Jen, just calm down.
What was that?
Ouch! Hey! The sucker just bit me!
No! Oh, please! No! No!
Outgoing comm bundle.
You bitch, Louise. We can't sleep. We can't eat. They've infested the food supply.
Oh, you infertile witch!
Shut up, Jen.
You shut up.
Louise, I'm begging you. We've tried everything. We've deprived them of oxygen, frozen them. But nothing is working, Louise.
Of course nothing's working. They're cockroaches, Adam.
Screw you, Jen.
Give me that comm.
No, get the hell away.
No, you just keep...
Incoming comm bundle.
Adam. Oh, my God, Adam, I just received your first comm bundle. You do love me. I'm so sorry about the cockroaches. By the time you get this, the infestation will probably be overwhelming. Have they made nests in your eyes yet? Oh, my dear, I'm so sorry. But I'm just so happy to know that you loved me, Adam.
Adam?
Can you still see out of your left eye?
No, not anymore.
It's weird, huh? Being blind in space.
Yeah.
Adam? Adam?
Yeah.
Do you think they will make it all the way to Kepler 186?
The cockroaches?
Yeah.
I don't know. They'll have our carcasses to munch on for quite a while. So, yeah, probably. Jen, it's okay. Where's your hand, baby? Give me your hand.
Outgoing comm bundle.
Louise, I've got you, you freak. You're in prison by now. And you're probably curious why those prison officials implanted biofies in both your temples. They did this at my request. They've agreed to leave our comm bundles on open feed until the spacecraft self-destructs. It will be playing the amplified audio of our last moments over and over in your skull until you die. Happy now, you revenge-addicted harpy? You will never escape us. We are a part of you forever. So suck it.
Incoming comm bundle.
Adam, are you still alive? How can you still be alive, you jerk? Would you both please stop? I can't stand it. The hissing. Oh, God. The constant chewing on your bodies. You're right. It's driving me crazy. Oh, my God. You win. I love you. I hate you. Shut up.
Good morning. Lights are energizing.
Elizabeth Heffron, also in the house. Once again, sensible shoes.
Soul embarks, and I
Bangkok to Calgary, where the soles of your shoes are all worn down. The time for sleep is now. There's nothing to cry about, 'cause we'll hold each other soon in the blackest of
Simon.
And give it up for our very special guest tonight, Willie Weir. And from the Seattle Women's Chorus, the amazing Sensible Shoes.
And of course, the Sandbox Radio Orchestra. Led by Jose Juicy Gonzalez on the piano. Pascal on the bass, and Rob Whitmer on every other damn thing you can think of.
Tonight's show was written by Scott Augustin, Edward Gorey, Elizabeth Heffron, Peggy Platt, and Wayne Raleigh. Our stage managers, bless them, were Lizzie Burton and Susie Butler. Production assistant Teresa Mitaletti. And the show was mixed by Luke Kerwald and recorded by Christopher Stewart. And I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. So, we're gonna bring out our lyric cards, because now's the time in the show when we always love for you to sing along with us. I think you're picking up the tune. Here we go.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Sandbox Radio in Nighttown was recorded in front of a live audience at Town Hall, Seattle on October 5th, 2015. The show was engineered by Luke Kerwald, recorded by Christopher Stewart, and this podcast was mixed by Dave Pascal. It was written by Scott Augustin, Elizabeth Heffron, Peggy Platt, and Wayne Long, with original music by Jose Juicy Gonzalez. Edward Gorey's poem, The Gashly Crumb Tinies, was adapted for Sandbox Radio by co-producer Richard Zeiman. Our stage managers were Elizabeth Burton and Susie Butler, and our production assistant was Teresa Micheletti. Learn more about Sensible Shoes and the Seattle Women's Chorus at flyinghouse.org. And keep up with Willie Weir at willieweir.com. That's WILLIEWEIR.com. Wherever you found this podcast, leave a comment or review, would you? Help other listeners find us. And if you can, help us keep producing the show by making a donation. Find out how at sandboxradio.org. See you on December 28th for The Big One. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Speakers Forum from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. If you liked what you heard, you might leave a good review. It'll help other listeners find us. This performance of Sandbox Radio was recorded in a one-night-only event on October 5th, 2015 at Town Hall, Seattle. Sandbox Radio is locally grown and produced by Leslie Law and Richard Zeiman. Tune in next week for another great show. For Speakers Forum, KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm John O'Brien.